Grab yourself a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll eventually make our way there. It's good to be back. Many of you were here last week. You heard Ryan speak. I listened to his message online. I was encouraged by it. My family and I were camping in the Delaware Water Gap last weekend, so it was a fun little camp out. And I got the special treat of Sunday night into Monday, you know, like the last night you're staying when you're camping. The next morning you have to pack up. Well, it rained into Sunday night into Monday. Have you ever done that before? It's such a special treat, isn't it? So I had to reset my campsite out in my backyard to dry everything out. But other than that, we had a great time, good family time, and it was nice time to get away. Today at 6 p.m., we do have a baptism at the Meadowlark Bay Beach. So if you would like to get baptized, it's not too late. You can let us know. If not, though, we do have a few people getting baptized. So if you would like to show up and show your support for them, we'll meet there down at the Bay Beach at 6 p.m. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I thank you for the time that we can come here and learn more about you, who you are and what you've done, and learn more about how to be the friend that you've exemplified in your son, Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, now that as we study this topic of friendship and making friends and being the right friend, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take in what we need to take in so that we can be successful in those types of relationships. Thankful again for the opportunity we have to worship this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to afford us these freedoms and not take those for granted. I'm just thankful again for each person that's here. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So we've been learning about biblical friendship, and the two topics we talked about were pretty much commands for all of our relationships, and that is we need to forgive other people, and we need to be trustworthy people. So those are kind of by way of command, like that's what God desires of us in friendships and in every relationship. But the next topic that we're going to talk about this morning, or we're going to learn about this morning, is not necessarily a hard and fast command as much as it is a trait that is going to be desirable for you to put in your life and also desirable for you to look for when you're looking for a friend. And that is that we should look for friends that inspire us. We should look for friends that inspire us, and we should look to be a person that is inspiring to other people. So we should look for friends that inspire us, and we should look to be a friend that inspires other people. Now, normally we're inspired by someone when they have a strong passion for something. Wouldn't you agree? It's inspiring to see when someone has a strong passion for something. If you've ever watched a movie, read a book, or saw a documentary of a person that's passionate about something, you know what I mean. Some of you might remember back in 1993, they released this movie. It was called Rudy. Anybody ever see that movie, Rudy? Okay, it was about a 5'6", 165-pound kid that wanted to play football for Notre Dame. And basically, the whole story goes, his name was Daniel Rudiger, nicknamed Rudy. Though, as the whole story goes, he constantly put himself in places and showed the people above him that he was passionate, that he had this desire, that he had this goal, he had this dream to finally play for Notre Dame. And what happened in the movie and in the true story is that he wound up making the Notre Dame scout team, which wasn't the real team that played on the real field. It was the practice team. So for lack of better terms, he was almost a tackling dummy. Okay, he was the practice team. He was the one that got to practice with the real team. And finally, on his senior year, it was his last game. In the final minutes of this game against Georgia Tech, they put Rudy in. All his teammates wanted him in. The one coach wanted him in. So they put him in. Now, the team was up by 25 points. It was the final minutes of the game. There was really no reason not to put Rudy in. So they finally put Rudy in. So Rudy had three plays, right? The first was a kickoff, so they kicked it off. He ran down the field. The second was an incomplete pass, so they really did not much of anything. But on the third play, Rudy sacked the quarterback. And he sacked the quarterback, and this is a true story. The players actually hoisted him up on their shoulders and ran off the field with Rudy on their shoulders. Apparently, in Notre Dame history, only two players have ever been taken off the field in that way. Now, we hear that story, we see the movie, we hear about the true story, and we have to scratch our head and say, why in the world did they take him off the field like that? Why was everybody so excited? The play was pretty much insignificant. There was no way Notre Dame was going to lose. They were up by 25 points. But here's the truth. It comes down to a passion that this young man had to have this goal and desire to actually play for the school that he loved. So when he finally got that opportunity and he made that play, all the other players and the coaches, everybody was excited. Everybody was happy for him because he was passionate and he achieved that goal. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not a big football fan, okay? But when I watched that movie, I was like, man, Rudy, that's awesome. You know, it was inspiring to me to see that. Like, here's somebody who's got their mind made up, their mindset on this goal, and they achieved it because of their passion. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is this: what are we passionate about? And when we're passionate about something, it can inspire the people around us. More importantly, it can inspire our friends. Now, then we have to ask this question: what are our friends passionate about? And how do they inspire us? So what we're going to do today is we're going to actually answer two questions. And the first question is this: what inspiration should we be looking for in a friend? When you're looking to make friends, what inspiration should you be looking for when you're trying to find those friends? Now, the simple answer to that is someone who makes you a better person. Someone who makes you a better person. Someone who brings out the best in you, but actually sharpens you and makes you a better person. But what about another person can inspire us to be better people? And I'm here to tell you today that the first thing that we have to look for as way as inspiration from a friend is that they are a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I said this. I talked about how we should look for believers as friends. And I reminded you, that doesn't mean that we never befriend an unbelieving person. That doesn't mean that we take our unbelieving friends and throw them to the side and say, I'm not going to be friends with you anymore. But in life, we have a need to surround ourselves with believing people. People that believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And here's the important thing. You know this to be true about somebody who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. One thing that is definitely true about a person that believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior is they realize they can't do it on their own. What do I mean by that? The essence of the gospel is this: we are sinners in need of a Savior. You can never become a Christian. You can never be saved unless you're willing to admit, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also teaches us that all who believe that Jesus was the payment for our sin and rose again 3 days later will have eternal life. Basically, what's happening is when a person believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're taking their pride and putting it aside and they're humbling themselves and saying, I know I can't do it on my own. I know I need Jesus to save me. I can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. And Jesus is good enough to save me. So basically, when we look for a believing friend, what we're getting is a person who is actually not full of pride, but we're getting a person that is actually humble enough to say, I need help. Now, think about this for a second. Wouldn't you want to be with a friend that doesn't think they know it all or think they're perfect? Don't you want to be with somebody who realizes their shortcomings and their downfalls? Well, the Christian is more likely to realize those things because they stepped into the realm of saying, I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus to help me. But also, what we need to realize is when a person becomes a Christian, one of the goals of the Christian life is to actually be sanctified. That's a big theological term for becoming more like Christ, or in other words, being a better person. Because each person that's a Christian, the goal of our Christian walk is to actually look to Christ and emulate him. So when we look for a friend, the first thing that we need to be inspired by is their faith in Jesus. So as a person that desires to follow Jesus and to be more like him, we want to look for friends that inspire us in that way. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't have friends that are not believers, but it is so important for you to realize that you need some believing friends in your life. I know many of you, and I know that this is probably true of many of you. Because you became a Christian later on in life, most of your friends are not Christians. And most of the people that you know are not Christians. And when you find other people that are Christians, you should desire to build friendships with them because they're going to help sharpen you in your life. They're going to help inspire you to follow after Jesus in a deeper way. So I think we can all agree that there are many qualities and character traits that we need to adopt as Christians to be more like Christ. But really, the overarching thing that will encompass all those character traits is something called passion. It's being passionate about Jesus and passionate about following him. I think the answer that we need to realize is when people are passionate, they're more likely to do what other people call this, walking the walk. Have you heard that term before? Oh, that person really walks the walk. Meaning this, they don't just say, I'm a believer. They don't just teach other people, but they actually live the way that they're supposed to live. Now, this is difficult, right? This is difficult because we'll look at our Christian friends and there will always be areas where they're not walking the walk. Have you found that to be true? You look at somebody and say, oh yeah, they're walking the walk in that area, but not in that area. Oh, they're walking the walk in that area, but not in that area. But then if we step back and we're honest with ourselves, right? Is that true of you? Yeah. None of us are perfect, okay? So some of us might walk the walk in one area but fall short in another area. So we might have one friend that's inspiring because they passionately follow Jesus and they really serve. They serve a ton. Every time you see them, they're doing something for someone else. But then you might look at them and you might also see that they don't really have much of a passion for learning God's word. They like to do, but if it comes to sitting down and learning more and studying and reading, they're not that strong in that. They might struggle in that area. So you look at them and you're inspired by their service, but you're not necessarily inspired by their biblical knowledge. Or you might have a friend that is passionate about biblical knowledge. They're always studying. They always have a verse for you. They always have something to say. If you have a Bible question, they know the answer. But to the flip side, maybe they don't really serve others much. Maybe when they hear announcements saying, oh, you want to serve in this way? They're like, no, I'm more the Bible person, okay? I just like to read, you know? I like to study. I like to know more. We may have another friend that's passionate about never saying anything bad about another person. But that same person may never step up when they see a friend going the wrong way. They never say anything bad about anybody, but they never say anything hurtful or maybe helpful to another person in their spiritual walk. Remember, I said hurtful because wounds sometimes come from a friend. Things that we need to tell people that might hurt them on the onset, but help them in their spiritual life. So maybe this person's super passionate about being positive, but part of their downfall is they'll never say anything that can be perceived as negative that would actually help someone else. Still, we might have another friend who's overly excited about stepping in and telling somebody that they're doing something wrong. Have you ever met that friend? Okay. But their struggle might be that they tend to judge other people. So they're the type of person that's going to step up and be like, you're going the wrong way. You need to go the right way. But deep down, they're kind of looking at people with a judgmental eye. See, Jesus said this in Matthew 7:20. He said, you will know them by their fruit. Here's what Jesus is saying. You'll know somebody's a Christian by the way that they act. But here's the tricky part. Everybody's in a different place in their spiritual journey, wouldn't you agree? Everybody's in a different place. Some people do really well and they're really passionate in one area, but they're falling short in another area. So let's take all those friends that I've described. Do they all bear fruit? Do they all bear fruit? Yeah, in one area, but maybe not another. So people will know, oh, that person's a Christian because they never say anything bad about other people. But maybe they don't know the backstory of the fact that they have friends that are going the wrong way. And God's kind of tapping them on the shoulder saying, you got to step in and say something. Your friends are going the wrong way. And you're like, no, no, no. I don't want conflict. I don't want to be negative. I don't want. So they're not bearing fruit in that area, but they're bearing fruit in another area. Here's what I want to tell you. If we spend our time looking for the perfect friend or the perfect Christian, guess what? You're never going to find them. You're never going to find that one perfect BFF, okay? And some of you are like, I don't need a BFF. I'm not 12 years old, okay? I need a group of friends. And that's true. No offense to anybody who's 12 years old in here. You're never going to find that one perfect friend that walks the walk in every area of life. See, at this point, we have to be reminded of two things. The first is this. Jesus is our best friend. He is the perfect example of what a friend is. And guess what? When we place another person at a high level and he starts to, or she starts to overshadow Jesus, here's what you're setting yourself up for. You're setting yourself up for letdown. I've had people say this, you know what, I'm discouraged because I've had Christian friends that have burned me, or I'm discouraged because I've had Christian friends that have hurt me. Well, what I would suggest is this, look past those people and look to Jesus. Because none of your friends, none of the people in your life will ever be able to deliver like Jesus delivers, will never be the perfect friend that you desire. Because Jesus is that perfect friend. And we have to pursue that friendship. But God does want us to have human relationships. And he does want us to look and be inspired by other people. The second thing we need to remember is we should pursue multiple friendships that inspire us in different areas. In other words, certain friends will meet certain needs and help us be better in different areas. You see what this is creating for you? It's creating like a little community of friends, of people that can help you along the way. So what I believe that we need to do is we need to look at all of our friendships. We need to look at all the Christians that we know and befriend Christians that we know that are going to assist us in spiritual growth in different areas of our life. Again, no one friend is going to meet all the needs that you have. Jesus is the perfect friend, and he's put other friends in your life as a community of friends to help build you in your spiritual life. Now back to our question, what inspiration should we be looking for? Well, the first thing is a believer in Jesus, but the second thing is someone who is passionate about following Jesus. In one area or another, they're passionate. They want to please Jesus. They want to actually do things that make Jesus happy. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the first part of it. Hebrews 12, 2. Says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So when we're looking for a friend that's going to inspire us, we want to look for a person that is fixing their eyes on Jesus, looking to Jesus. They're always going to fall short in some area. They're never going to be perfect, but their passion and goal and desire is look to Jesus, is to look to Jesus and focus their eyes on him. You know what? This makes me think of an early church martyr. Some of you may have heard the story of Polycarp. His life and attitude at the time of death inspired people for almost 2,000 years. The account is from AD 160, in which Polycarp was the bishop of the church in Smyrna. Under Roman rule, Christians were persecuted greatly at that time because they wouldn't declare Caesar as Lord. So basically, if you were living at that time, they would say, do you declare Caesar as Lord? And if they wouldn't, which any Christian that is looking to Jesus knows that Jesus is Lord, if they wouldn't, they would be killed. So Polycarp was finally brought to the arena. He was the bishop in this church, and he was brought to the arena to be killed. They gave him a chance. They said, declare Caesar as Lord. And he said, no, no, I'm not declaring Caesar as Lord. And he said this, a quote from Polycarp. He said, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and savior? So in the face of death, that's what he says to his accusers. So they gave him another chance. They said, hey, listen, if you don't declare Caesar as Lord, we're going to bring out wild animals and they're going to tear you limb from limb in front of this whole arena. And you know what Polycarp said? He said, call him out. He said this, it's unthinkable for me to turn from something good to something evil. You think they were happy with that response? They said this, listen, prepare the fire. We're burning him right in front of all these people. Well, as the story goes, something miraculous happened. They set Polycarp up on the stake. They put the firewood all around him. And when they torched the area, his body would not burn. The flames just surrounded Polycarp. This is as the story that's so inspiring to Christians and people witness this. It would not burn him. One of the guards got so irate that he took out his sword and just ran and killed Polycarp with a sword. He did not burn. He actually was killed with a sword. Then after that, they wound up burning his body, taking him and burning his body. But here's the point. We hear that story and we say, wow, that's inspiring. I mean, here's a guy that's looking in the face of death and basically could have escaped death by saying Caesar is Lord, but saying, no, no. Jesus has never done me wrong. He's the best friend. He's there for me. He inspires me. I love him and only him. So you know what this reminds me of? If you go back in Hebrews chapter 12, the first verse, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Then it goes into looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So now, here's what he's saying. He's saying this, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, do you know what that's referencing? Hebrews chapter 11. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, we're not going to read it, but if you look at it, it's known as the Heroes of Faith chapter. Okay, it names all these heroes of faith from the Old Testament. Do you know one thing that's true about all the heroes of faith in the Old Testament? Or two things that are true. One is they had faith. They passionately followed after God. But two is none of them were perfect. Isn't that amazing? None of them are perfect, but they got their name in the scripture. Jesus saw it fit to call them heroes of faith, to say, look, these people are examples. But so many of them fell short in so many areas. Some might even look at areas of some of their lives and say, they didn't walk the walk, and they would be right. They didn't in that area. Some of them were downright bad people at some times in their life. But you know what? They had strong faith in the Lord. And even though they fell short in some areas, they had strong faith. And they passionately fixed their eyes on Jesus, like Polycarp did. So here's the point. When we're looking for friends, we have to look for people that are giving a shot, passionately looking to Jesus and saying, you know what? I'm giving this a shot. If you're looking for that one perfect friend, that one perfect Christian, you are just going to be let down, let down, let down, let down, let down. And guess what? You're going to walk through life with no friends. You're going to walk through life with no human companionship because your standard is way too high. Your standard is actually an impossible standard for any friend to live up to. See, when we look to the faith of others, it inspires us. And that brings us to the second thing we're reminded of. We should pursue multiple friendships that inspire us in different areas. Or in other words, certain friends will meet certain needs that help us be better in certain areas. You get that? So it's kind of like this community of friends that, you know, hey, this person, they inspire me in the use of their finances. This person inspires me in their Bible knowledge. This person inspires me in their service. This person inspires me in their compassion. So you're looking at friendships and saying, okay, these people all inspire me. And some might inspire you in many different ways. They might not be limited to one or two, might be five or six. But the point is, you're looking and saying, okay, you know what? I'm surrounding myself with a bunch of people that all passionately desire to follow after Jesus, all struggle in different areas, but all have some areas that they're strong in. So now I'm going to surround myself with these people, and it's going to help me be a stronger Christian. Listen to Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know what that's saying? When you have a group of Christian friends that are there for you, that you can look to for inspiration, here's what it's going to do. It's just going to strengthen your faith. You're going to take the best from those friends and use that in your life. You're going to take the best things from those multiple friends and use those things in your life. They're going to inspire you. So you might have that one person that inspires you in biblical knowledge. You might have that one person that inspires you in compassion or service or whatever it is. The goal of friendship, one goal of friendship is found in Proverbs 27:17, right? As iron sharpens iron, one person or one man sharpens another. That's what our friendships are supposed to do. So you might have a friendship with a Christian that sharpens you in a very specific area, makes you stronger in a very specific area. They see you and they say, I'm strong in this area, so I'm going to help you in that area. Which really brings us to what's going to be our next question. Because friendship's not all about what we receive, is it? It's not only about what I can get from this relationship. Because if it is, guess what? Eventually that friendship's gonna struggle, isn't it? Because if it's only one-sided, if it's only that friendship that you're just taking, eventually that person's gonna be very tired. They're gonna get worn down because a friendship is a give and take. So the next thing that we have to do is when we're evaluating all our friendships, we have to look and say, where am I strong and where are my friends weak? So you're looking at your own life and saying, okay, I have some strength in this area. I have some passion in this area where I'm doing well. So now you have this friend in your life and you might look and they don't inspire you in that area. But guess what? You're called to inspire them in that area. God placed you in their life. Some of you might look and you might see a friend. You might just be like, oh, man, this is tough. Like, I feel like I am always the one stringing them along. I feel like I'm the one who has to set the example. Well, you know what? The truth is God may have put you in their life for that very reason. He's made you strong in that area so that you can help them in their weakness. You see how this works? It's pretty amazing. And again, this is not a biblical command, so to speak, but it's a desirable trait. If we all looked at friendship like this, think about this. If you looked at friendship and said, okay, I want to surround myself with people that are going to inspire me, but I also want to have people in my life that I can inspire as well, that can be give and take and that we can help one another. But then the question is this, how do we inspire those friends? How do we inspire? Because some of them, you might just look and be like, man, they're a head shaker, okay? We did 22 weeks of shaking our head, right? You have friends in your life that you just shake your head. You're like, they will not get this. What is wrong with them? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to continue to pray for them, obviously, but you need to inspire them. You need to show them what you're passionate about. I would suggest that whatever you are passionate about, other people will catch that passion. Have you noticed that? Whatever you're passionate about, other people will catch that passion, even if it's not a spiritual thing. It can be just something else. People will kind of catch passion. But you know what? Maybe your passions are very worldly. Maybe this is why you're not inspiring other people. You have very worldly passions. Do you know what James 4:4 says about this? Listen to this. He says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." So now what he's saying is, listen, when you're passionate about something that is not of God, you're committing spiritual adultery on God. You're using your efforts to actually pursue something that God does not love. So what we need to do is this. We need to reject the worldly passions. I'm not saying reject the entire world. I'm saying reject worldly passions, meaning sinful things. You know, some people get very passionate about sinful things, and you could see it in their life and how they act. Well, if that's you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to discourage your Christian friends. If you're passionate about sinful things, you're going to discourage your Christian friends. You're going to create a bad testimony for yourself, but you're going to discourage your Christian friends, and you're not going to inspire them. You're actually going to drag them down, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. So you need to reject worldly passions. The next thing is, as believers, what we need to do is this. We need to be passionate about walking the walk. There's that term again, walking the walk. Again, we won't all walk the walk perfectly because only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can exemplify that. If you have areas in your life where you're falling short and you don't have a friend that's inspiring you in that area, you got to look past all your friends and look to Jesus because he's the best example. I do believe that God probably does have a friend for you somewhere that can help you in that, that can help you and guide you and inspire you in those ways. I mean, that's, in all honesty, sometimes it might not even be a friend that you can actually converse with, but it might be a friend, so to speak, that helps you. Maybe it's a Christian author writing a book. Maybe it's a podcaster that you can listen to. Maybe it's a somebody who's long gone to heaven already, like Polycarp, where you can look and say, wow, that's super inspiring for me to help me in that area of my life. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 8:7, this is the second letter to the Corinthian church. Listen to what Paul says to them. He says, "But just as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all earnestness, and in the love we inspired you in, see that you abound in his gracious work." So now here's what Paul does. He takes the things that they're doing good at and encourages them. And he says, hey, guess what? We inspired you that way. We inspired you to do that, but now what we're asking you to do this is abound in this gracious work as well. He's saying, I'm going to encourage you for what you're doing right, but if you're going astray, if you're going down the wrong path, if you're not doing good in an area, what I want to do is I want to inspire you in that area. That's what a good friend does. That's what a good friend does. They inspire us in the areas that we're weak in. In order for us to be good friends to other people, we need to inspire them in areas that they're weak in. It's so difficult because sometimes in friendships, we just lose patience with people. We just don't feel like dealing with it. And we just start to feel like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. It's not working. It's not working. But what God is calling us to do is be that inspiration. Be that light to your friend. Be inspiring to them to passionately follow Jesus. Walk the walk. Show them with your life. Don't do it just for their benefit. Do it for the benefit of the Lord. But when you do that, others will see. Your friends will see. So applying this, we need to use the areas that we're strong in to help our friends that are weak in those areas. We need to identify the areas that we're weak in and look for friends to inspire us in those areas. So identify the areas that you're strong in, how you can help. Identify the areas that you're weak in, how you can find people to come alongside of you. You know, the sad part is for some people is they walk through life without any real Christian friends. They have friends, they have acquaintances, they have people that they hang out with, but they walk through life without real Christian friends that have their best interest in mind, that are passionately following Jesus and want to sharpen them. We have a church with a lot of people in it. We have 3 services. There's many opportunities for you to find other people. Don't ever, and let me just say this very clearly, don't ever come to me as a pastor and say, there's nobody in the church that I could become friends with that will help me. Don't ever say that to me. Because it's not true. There are plenty of people here that you can make friends with. There are plenty of people here that you can make friends with. But if you're looking for that perfect BFF person who never makes a mistake and always walks the walk, I can tell you, his name is Jesus, okay? Look past all the people around and look to Jesus. You're never going to find the perfect human. You're never going to find that perfect, but you're going to find people that will inspire you in different areas of your life. And God is going to use you to inspire other people in different areas of their life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I pray, Lord, that you would just cultivate the friendships between the people here in this church. We know that we all need inspiration, and we all need to inspire other people. So we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be open to those relationships. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't set our standards so high that no friend is ever good enough. The standard that's set that's high is fulfilled in your son, Jesus, and we all have him as a friend when we trust in him. So we're thankful for that. We pray, Lord, for our friendships, that we're gracious towards our friends and realize that we're all at different places on the spiritual road, that we all bear fruit in different areas, that we all can help one another in different areas, that none of us are greater than or less than one another, but we're all moving through this life as people that desire to be passionate about you. When we look at those heroes of faith, we realize that they had strong faith in you, but many of them had severe downfalls, but you still saw fit to put them in your word, to use them as an example of people that are worthy to be friends with. So we're thankful for that. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.